If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers, we are back with Sir Quirkington. Time to return to Proving Ground 6. We have time to get to the top of Shrine Isle. For this scenario, the battle for the shrine. Begin. At the conclusion of the previous part, I don't suppose we've seen the last of the Firecaster, says Owl, whose disdain for Uryo is apparent. A mage of her skill is capable of some very remarkable feats. I believe we may just have witnessed one. I hope it wasn't done solely on our account. Owl's words anger you, and you're about to speak up in Uryo's defence when he suddenly retracts them. He's a friend of yours, no doubt. I can see that, he says. I'm sorry if I must make my misgivings so plain. I beg your forgiveness, Sir Crokington. Your anger subsides almost instantly, and your thoughts return to the spellcaster. You hope that Owl's words will prove at least partially true. That she's been saved from horrendous death by her own potent magic. You also hope she will soon rejoin you. On the far side of the clearing, you locate a broad, largely overgrown path that winds its way up to the edge of the peak, towards the summit. Owl tells you it does not appear that anyone's passed this way recently. You've come to the same conclusion. He hopes the two of you will find the ruined shrine deserted. Somehow I doubt that. Nothing would more speedily spoil the day than a rude welcome from a bunch of snakes, says Owl, frowning. Come on then, let's hurry. And hope that the good sorceress might find us again, if indeed she lived. I can't help thinking we might need all the help we can get before this next bit is over. And now. Clearly the enemy may already be making its way up the peak, or may have already reached it by other paths and means. You and Owl are both eager to begin the final leg of the ascent. The Master Thief tells you that when you reach the summit, the two of you must make for a round building, which supposedly sits at the centre of the shrine. The second of the three books rests beneath a grand statue in the middle of the sanctum, he says, making reference to the missing leather-bound journal. If we find ourselves alone up there, well, Let's just continue to hope that we do. Off we go. The two of you trek upwards along the broad, overgrown path, leading towards the summit of the peak. Now and again, you pause for a moment and carefully survey your surroundings, but each time you neither see nor hear anything that could indicate your foes are anywhere in the vicinity. As you close within only a couple of hundred yards of the flattened summit, the path you're following suddenly forks. Both lengths of the trail snake, oh no, not that word, steeply upwards through the field of loose rocks and leaning trees. Al stares along both paths and then turns to you as if he expects you to tell which one you should take. At first glance, both paths appear steep and treacherous. Alright, so we can go left or right, but we can use woodsmanship and divination to figure out which one to take first. I'll go random dogged. I think I'll only be able to use one of woodsmanship and divination. So random.org will tell me which one. Alright, got a one, and that is woodsmanship. You successfully used your woodsmanship skill, 8 XP to it. After studying both lengths of trail, you feel that while the trail on the left is most certain to offer a more sure footing, it also exposes you to anyone who might be climbing up from below. The path to the right, which is undoubtedly proves to be more treacherous on underfoot, is shielded from view from below by a dense stretch of stunted trees. Alright, so I have to choose natural peril or peril from whoever might be hunting me on the island. And honestly, both are pretty severe, so can't really choose. Once again, I will leave it to random.org. It chose one, so I'm going the path to the left. With Al following along a few yards behind you, you begin the slow and arduous climb up the steep stony track leading to the summit. Though you nearly lose your footing several times, the path proves solid enough that neither of you fall, and after covering nearly 200 yards, the top of the slope looms into view. "Easy we go," calls Al from several yards back along the trail. "Whatever you do, Sir Crockington, don't look down. I've already made that mistake." His warning provides the exact opposite of its intended effect, and almost immediately you turn and glance down the steep side of the peak, falling away beneath the trail upon which you've precariously perched. The sheer height of your current position is dizzying. You're about to turn away out of fear of losing your balance when your eyes become fixated on a chilling sight far below. Moving up to the base of the trail far below is a group of eight silver armored Tazal. The reptilians obviously spotted you, and now as they are rapidly gesturing towards the two of you. "Well, you look at that," says Al, whisking another glance down smoke. "We better get..." Your heart leaps as the trail directly in front of you is suddenly engulfed in a fiery blast. Shards of rock and a cloud of dust rains down upon you. You're in the wake of the explosion. A bolt of flame. A second bolt of flame. You never saw the first. Hurtles up from below and slams into the nearby hillside, missing the track upon which you're perched by several yards. "Get to the top!" screams Owl as he redoubles his efforts. "Get to the top!" Before you can even start up the trail again, a shrill whistling sound rises up from the far below. You turn and watch in horror as a massive blast of fire soars upward from the outstretched hands of one of the armature's arm. The deadly bolt of flame is streaking straight towards you. I guess the first two bolts were to help them aim, and now they can aim. So I've got some options here. Fortification, telekinesis, gating, elementalism, or just dodge. All of them were available to me because my levels, because my skills and powers, or my powers levels are high enough. But once again, I shall turn to random.org to just jazz it up a bit. Generate 5. Looks like even though I don't have to, I'm going to try to dodge. We attempt to dodge the hurtling bolt of fire. Pick a random number. Bonus of 49. 19 from agility, 20 from woodmanship, 10 from luck. Got to get 75 or more, or be set on fire. Pick now. 138. Success. And a remarkable display of agility. You manage to dive clear of the fiery blast, or probably spring above it. Because, you know, toad. The fiery blast from below strikes the path behind you and explodes, showering you in dust and debris. Wasting no time, you gently land on the ground. Can't really speed it up that much. But, you know, I try to position myself in a streamlined way. And then you wash along the remainder of the path towards the summit. You reach the top of the stony track and step onto the firm ground of the peak's flattened summit. Go on then. There's hardly a moment to waste, says Owl, moving up from behind you and rushing towards the band of trees that ring the crown of the peak. You take long blast, look back along the path you've just ascended, before turning and following swiftly at his heels. The band of fir trees through which you and Owl press quickly thin out, and you soon find yourself standing at the lip of a broad, rocky depression. In the centre of the depression, amidst a sea of boulders and stunted trees, lie the shattered, crumbling ruins of the shrine on which the isle long ago took its name. Now, how would they manage to get enough stone to this island? It's not exactly a good, easy island for logistics. I mean, I guess you could get the stone here, but then you need to send over quarrymen and the tools for them. So that it really isn't that much easier. I don't know, maybe this heath didn't exist at the time. Your eyes immediately lock onto a circular structure. Or, you know, gating. Gating would help too. Your eyes immediately lock onto the circular structure near to what you perceive to be the middle of the ruined shrine. The small building appears remarkably intact. Owl turns and slaps you on the shoulder. There it is, he says, grinning. If I hadn't seen that, I might have begun to lose all hope. All right, let's make haste. But keep our wits at hand. Yeah, because we definitely know those 8 snakes are going to be chasing us. And who knows what could be lying in wait here. After surveying the area for nearly a minute, and the beast will make an appearance, no doubt. After surveying the area for nearly a minute, both you and Owl conclude that the ruined shrine is not occupied. While this bodes well for the task that you find yourself confronted with, the retriever of the book from the shrine's sanctum, you can't help but feel you're not alone here. Of course not. I'm pretty much never alone. No doubt they'd have taken the book already if they knew where to find it, says Owl, as you move down into the rocky depression and begin to make your way towards the centre of the ruins. Yeah, that does definitely lead me towards they're following us, but they're going ahead to the only likely place. Maybe they'll like us to lead them to it. While it pains me that such might be the case, there's little else we can do. We need to have that book. Yeah, because I assume once you've got the three books together, they'll give some sort of clue to something, somehow, some way. And it doesn't really work if you only have two of the three. You ask Owl about the verse he's previously mentioned. Verse he hopes to discover engraved onto the wall of the temple. You can only assume the temple is the circular structure you're now heading for. Owl tells you that the importance of the verse, which is great, pales in comparison to that of the book. He also tells you the lone intact building is indeed the sanctum, or as some have called it, the temple. Has long served as the heart of the ancient shrine. Without the book, all of this has been in vain, he says. It is just the reason that I won't leave the isle without it. Okay, I assume they want the book too, because otherwise they'd have presumably just started a burning everything. They just wanted to stop us from getting it. You just burn everything and also, yeah, just kill us. Although they definitely tried that. They definitely tried that because they've got enough minions to just search the island as long as it takes. But it'd be quicker. But they're perfectly willing here. Yeah. I mean, they die, we search the island, they live, they get the books, we kill them. We win either way, really. I mean, we're going to have to kill them eventually, so might as well get it. Might as well knock that on the head. I'm gesturing with my hands. There's no way you can see this because this is audio. And I'm still gesturing with my hands. God, terrible. I'm just so terrible at this. Yes, yes. Takes only a few minutes to wind your way through the maze of crumbling structures, toppled walls and piles of rubble, to reach the open quadrangle that houses the round building you and Owl spied from the lip of the depression. Now, I wonder, is all these structures part of the shrine? Or was there a small town here? Small town here long ago, and the shrine was just part of it. It could be either way. And I guess, unless we started, you know, doing some proper archaeology, we would never know. And even if we did that, we wouldn't be entirely sure. You know, unless someone say, unless of course we found a tablet with the name of the town. That would probably reveal, Oh yeah, it was a full town back then. Don't know why they built it there. Maybe it was a lot more easy to get to in the old days, before someone put the teeth there. It was just a handy place, presumably lots of wood there, lots of stone, handy view of the surrounding sea. Maybe put a lighthouse there. Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely a good place to put a lighthouse. But of course, not so easy now. Because the thing is, once you can actually see the lighthouse, you're already wrecked. Crouched behind a heap of cut stone and ancient timbers, the two of you intently watch the tall arch that appears to be the only entrance to the building. For several moments, you're certain that you are alone. And now is about to give the signal to move forward. Move towards the structure when the sound of voices from within the temple suddenly dashes your hopes and sends your pulse racing. Owl sighs and shakes his head. I prayed for speed and I hoped for help. Hoped for stealth, he whispers. First, I seem we'd achieve neither. Though I have a feeling that if you're on your own, you could have probably got both, but then you would have. But then, well, I'm the muscle, and you definitely need me. Even though I'm very small, I still have muscle. Because, you know, magic and stuff. He's about to say something else when a lone figure emerges from the shadows beneath the arch. You and Owl share a wide-eyed glance at the sudden appearance of an armoured human. You turn. You sense, however, that Owl has discerned more from this unexpected turn of events. Not all of the snakes are slithering about in silver armour. He hisses, glaring with contempt at the human now standing before him, before the arch. That man is a Whelsed man. I know his face, and his presence here bodes quite ill for all of us. Third of the Whelsed men, of course, the brutal defenders of the Grand Sanctuary of Cardson. And you immediately ask what it is they are doing here. I'm here on behalf of the Wabble, whispers Owl, making a direct reference to the group from Cardson that has long ago stood in opposition to the Grand Sanctuary. Ever since the end of the Civil War that brought him to power nearly 200 years ago. There's more to all of this than the Welshmen and the Wabble, though. Much, much more. We need now, more than ever, to get our hands on that book. When we're off this aisle with the book safely in our possession, I'll make it as clear as I can. Now, there's just been a whole mess of law book entries. We've got law book entries for Whelsed Men, Grand Sanctuary, Cardson, Wabble, and maybe even more that link off from those. All right, I'll start with Whelsed Men. Whelsed Men / Whelsed Man. The Whelsed Men, as they are known, are a group of citizens of the city-state of Cardson who are fiercely loyal to the Grand Sanctuary. It is believed the Whelsed Men earned their name due to the strong-arm tactics they employ by whelsting out those that stand in opposition to the Grand Sanctuary. Many brutal crimes have been attributed to this group, whom the Grand Sanctuary has long looked upon as loyal supporters. A long-standing hatred exists between the Whelsed Men and the Wabble. Alright, so the Grand Sanctuary, if not the big bad of this, is definitely one of the bigger bads. And is probably behind a lot of the things we've been fighting. It's all around definitely someone we might have to deal with. One way or the other. Alright. And the Grand Sanctuary. Who is the Grand Sanctuary? The Grand Sanctuary is a title held by the current ruler of the city-state of Cardson, also known as the Sorcerer Lord. This mysterious, masked figure came to power following a brutal civil war that nearly destroyed the city-state 200 years ago. Ah, so it's very magic if he's lived for 200 years. Well, ruled for 200 years, probably lived for much longer. The Whelsed Men have remained loyal to the authoritative Grand Sanctuary, while the Wabble have long served in opposition to him. Okay, what is Cardson? We'll read that now. The powerful and remote city-state of Cardson, situated at the edge of the ancient wood of Marathul, has since its founding nearly 1,000 years ago ruled the forests and plains south of Mount Myrta with unmatched and fearsome military might. Alright, presumably someone else was there before. Maybe several someone else's. But who they are has probably been lost to history and isn't important right now. Through by no means a warlike state, Cardson has always maintained that maintained one of the most powerful armies in all of Northern Swift. At its outset, Cardsan was governed by a council of five, elected by its citizenry. Ooh, a democracy. That's nice. Don't tend to get that many of them in fantasy. It usually defaults to a monarchy. Because, you know, Tolkien. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. It's all monarchy. Monarchy, monarchy, monarchy. Oh, it's another monarchy. And you can tell it's a bad monarchy because they call it an empire. That's how you can tell. If it's good, it's called a kingdom. If it's bad, it's called an empire. Yeah, it's a real trick. Although I guess there can be good empires, and there can definitely be bad kingdoms. The council was headed by a six-figure, appointed by the councillors themselves, known as the Sentry. The Sentry ultimately supported or rejected the governance provided by the council, but could not impose governance upon the people of Cardsan. All authority originated from the five-figure assembly. So it's more of a veto than some sort of executive, in some sort of super executive, unitary executive sort of authoritarian superpower, whatever thing. For over 1,000 years following its founding, Cardsan thrived under the governance of its elected council and the wisdom of its appointed sentries. Well, I guess it's sort of like Britain, because we do not elect our prime minister. I mean, we think we do, but we actually don't. We elect the MPs, and they can make whoever they want the prime minister, pretty much. I mean, it's tradition that the Prime Minister was an MP, but presumably if they wanted, they could make a cat the Prime Minister. Because parliamentary sovereignty means they can do whatever the heck they want, pretty much. And yeah, the House of Lords can stop them, but they can always just Parliament Act. Nearly 2 centuries ago, however, war erupted within the city-state. Corruption within a council of five sparked the bitter 2-year civil war, which ended with the dissolution of the body and the death of its current sentry. From the ashes of war, there arose a mysterious and powerful figure known as the Grand Sentry. The Grand Sentry quickly assumed an authoritative role. Authoritative role and sought retribution against those responsible for the corruption. Okay, so assuming when the Grand Sentry first appeared, they looked like this great saviour who would fix everything and then presumably bugger off. But then they didn't bugger off. Yeah. Like many dictators. And any who dared to question his claim to be the supreme ruler of the ancient city-state. It was obvious to all that Cardsan's new ruler was a powerful sorcerer, and many indeed have called him the Sorcerer Lord. Yes, that's definitely a difference from Tysa, where the king is not allowed magic. For many reasons. I mean, probably because of the tendency for wizards to go crazy. That's definitely something you don't want in a king. For nearly 200 years, the masked figure known as the Grand Sentry has ruled Cardsan as the memory of the Council of Five and the city-state's lawfully elected sentries faded into history. During the reign of the Grand Sentry, which continues to this day, Cardsan still maintained one of the most formidable militaries in all the North Broadlands. But how much land does Carlson have? It doesn't look like it's that much. Let's just... Anyway, I'm going to pause and look at the map. You won't be able to see the map, but you can if you look it up. Yeah, looking at a map, the map of Northern Swift, which is on the World of Swift page on the Swift Wiki, and ultimately this map was drawn by the GM himself. You can see the city, the Carlton, much, much smaller than Tysa, and the surrounding kingdoms. However, it's surrounded in pretty much entirely by mountains, and it has a huge military, so it's going to be pretty much impossible to invade. So the small mountainous, very well defended nations of Switzerland, but with, you know, a lot more magic going on, and apparently sinister designs, which Switzerland doesn't do. It usually just goes along with the sinister designs of others as long as they get the money. And they have to do other things.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
All right, back we go. The Grand Century's role as a city-state supreme leader has not gone unchallenged, however. A group of dissidents who decry the Grand Century's right to rule Carlton and who seek to reinstate the Council of Five and an elected century have long stood in opposition to the Sorcerer Lord. This group has come to be known as the Wabble. Another group, who are fiercely loyal to the Grand Century, who have done battle with the Wabble and the supporters, become known as the Roust Men. In recent months, the Wabble, led by a new and mysterious figure. Oh, I guess we shall meet eventually. Have become more bold in their opposition and have begun launching attacks against the Grand Century's forces and interests within the walls of Carlton and beyond. Okay, and now, I think the final Law book entry, the Wabble. The Wabble, as they have become known, are a group of citizens of the city-state of Cardson who stand in fierce opposition to the Grand Sentry and his authoritarian policies. The Wabble have never had much success in their never-ending campaign against the Sorcerer Lord of Cardson, mostly due to the brutal tactics of his defenders, the Roustmen. In recent years, however, a mysterious figure has assumed leadership of the Wabble, and they have become unified and somewhat effective in their subversive tactics. The Wabble claims that the Grand Sentry is not the legitimate ruler of Cardson. That's definitely seems to be a legitimate claim from what we've seen so far. And that he holds the vast majority of the city's populace at bay with his powerful magic. In recent months, the Wabble claims to have discovered the rightful leader of Cardson, the person who will restore the Council of Five and bring to justice the Grand Sentry and his villainous supporters. A long-standing hatred exists between the Wabble and the Roustmen. Right, okay, who is this rightful leader of Cardson? Who could it be? I don't remember it being clarified. But maybe it will be. We shall see. Okay. You're about to ask Al what he intends to do next when the sharp tip of a blade is suddenly pressed into your spine. Your blood runs cold before you even hear the first hiss. At last, your luck has run dry. Oh no. Snake men. Instinctively, you lunge forward, taking yourself away from the point of the blade pressed into your back. Then you go into a wall and spring to your feet. You spin around, only to find yourself alone, facing three silver armoured Tazul. There's no sign of Al. Guess he's just went somewhere where he can do a bit more sneaky attacks. We know he can defeat enemies. We've seen that happen. Just not sure how, but I think we can safely assume it relies on not being seen. Or maybe he's just left it to me for a bit. The three Tazal hiss loudly as they close in around you. The foremost of the three sheaves his sword and holds up his right hand, revealing a small, shining silver square set into the plate palm of his spiked gauntlet. Having witnessed the powerful blasts of fire these strange instruments are capable of, you're eager to prevent the cruel reptilian from making use of this. Alright, quite a few options now. Telekinesis, shadow magic, elementalism, archery, unarmed combat, charge them, or flee from this group of Tazul. So that's seven different options. Runner.org, tell me what to do. Number 5. Alright, unarmed combat. Successfully used your unarmed combat skill. It's 24 experience to unarmed combat. Remarkable speed, agility and accuracy. You roll forward and spring to your feet directly in front of the Sartre Tazul. A single blow to Reptilian's wrist caused him to drop his hand, and a swift, powerful kick to his midsection sends him staggering back into his two kin. All three of the armored Tazal topple to the ground. Although I guess when you're very long, it's probably easier for you to knock out multiple people at once. You know, when you fall over and things. The three creatures squirm on the ground as they struggle to quickly untangle themselves from each other. So I can attack or flee. Once again, I shall turn to random.org. I kind of hope to attack, but I also want to see what Flea's like, so... Nope, looks like we're attacking. Rush forward and attack the three armored Tazar. You're upon the three armored Tazar before they've had a chance to fully wise up their tangled pile and swiftly dispatch one of them with a single blow. One down. The remaining two snake men fall back and regroup before rapidly slithering forward to avenge their fallen kin. You violently hold your ground and engage the first of the armored Tazar. Armored Tazar, one of two. Unless some more sneak in while I'm not looking. The armored Tazar swipes at you with his plated, fire-weaved arms. I go into a battle rage. Ah! I'm so close to getting that box! Stop getting in the way! And a swarm of vicious, broad-winged bats hurtles forth from your weapon and envelops your foe. Still in battle rage. Oh, now I'm out of it. Now I'm just regular angry. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You're engulfed by the flames of your enemy's attack for 14 damage. Hope those flames didn't hurt the bats that also suddenly sprung out of my staff. Sorry, bats. Having you spawn white into the path of fire. Engulfed by the flames of your enemy's attack for 20. It's nearly done and slain. 42 XP. You know, I probably could have got more XP just by fighting them, rather than having one eliminated by skill use. But oh well. A bit of XP here and there, easy enough to get. You leap back from the remains of the slain Tarzal and immediately find yourself confronted by the second of the cruel, silver-armoured snake men. Begin combat. The armored Tazar swipes at you with his plated, fire-weaved arms. You're engulfed by the flames of your enemy attack for 17 damage. I'm just going to keep bash, 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 bash. Flame 25. 26 from the flame. Going 18 from the flame, 31 from the flame, 10 from the flame. So much flyer. I mean, you have issues. You know that? 23 from the flame and slain. So much fire. 42 experience and do a bit of healing too. A wave of intense heat coupled with a deafening roar startles you as a blazing inferno swiftly engulfs the armored corpses of your foes. In a matter of moments, only a small piles of ash and the charred, empty shells of plate armor remain to mark the spots where the vicious reptilians fell. Now, one, I'm not taking this because I'm busy. And two, this is linked with the whole Sarngard Island thing. So I don't want to mess with any equipment here because it's probably super duper cursed. Because that's just how people act on Sarngard. Cursed and poisoned. Somehow, even though it's been on fire, that would remove most poisons, still poisoned. Owl's shrill cry to the north startles you. You turn in towards the sound of his voice and spot the master thief. With his back pressed up against the rounded wall of the intact structure, as he attempts to fend off three silver armored Tazar, you quickly note that he still wields no visible weapon. Although maybe he has the hidden blade assassin creedy thing going on. Just not the kind of thing you'd do. You're about to rush your companion's aid when you're suddenly confronted by a sinister and more immediate threat. A tall, slender woman, her bony fingers tightly gripping a long, oaken iron staff, steps into your path and levels the weapon at your head. From just below her intense green eyes to the bottom of her chin, her face is concealed behind a blackened wooden mask. Her lymphy, greying hair stirs in the breeze as a hardened gaze meets your own. the thin grey cloak that splashes over her shoulders. Her narrow shoulders flows behind her. She takes a step forward. Oh no. She's got a cloak. That means she's powerful. Because only cool people get to have cloaks and capes. Especially if they flow behind them in a cool way. It's just the rules. You were warned to stay out of our affairs, she says, a stern, forceful voice, somehow muffled by the mask that covers her mouth. Now, I'm not going to have it muffled, but just imagine it is. Because the thing is, podcast, no subtitles. So if it gets muffled and you can't hear it, well, you're kind of screwed. It is now, at last, over for you. With that, a blinding crimson glow envelops the tip of her staff. Got quite a few options here. Use fortification, elementalism, gating, telekinesis, shadow magic, destruction, or attempt to reach her before she can discharge her the staff, or just run away and hope Owl doesn't die in the interim. Because, he's a friend, and also, he's the only one who really has any idea what's going on. Well, maybe Uriel probably knows something, but I think Owl knows the most. Well, out of the people here, anyway. Anyway, so that's 8 options. Once again, I turn to random.org, and I get a 4. So I'm going to use telekinesis. Succeeded. 8 XP to telekinesis. Your channeled magic seems to dissipate before it ever takes effect. Save your pathetic powers for mortal sport, she says coldly. Suddenly, her eyes widen as she takes a step back and moves the tip of her staff sharply to the right. You glance to your left and find Owl standing at your side. The Master Thief, whose face blackened by what appears to be soot. I guess he dealt with his sweeters all. Maybe he tricked him. Maybe he smashed him. Who knows? Glares at the masked woman, whose staff is now levelled at his head. The witches of Khazar, Cardson, make their grand entrance, he says, scowling. Where is your sister Temifra? Or did you at last tire of sharing the venomous praise of the Grand Sentry? The woman's eyes narrow, and though you can't see her mouth, you're all but certain she is smiling behind the mask. You were dead to us before this moment, she says, green eyes assuming a fierce, almost wild look. How very sporting to reveal yourself so openly. Perhaps your witness companion does not yet know that she shares the world with so gifted and heartless a murderer. As for my sister, she flies south, even as we speak, clutching the very object that brought you to this forsaken spot. As clever as the owl thinks himself to be, my birds of prey have again proven swifter. Her words leave a sinking feeling in your stomach, and you can immediately tell they've affected Owl in a similar way. Unless the masked woman standing before you, whom Owl unaffectionately identified as a Temifra, one of the witches of Cardson, is lying. Your mission to Shrine Isle, including the destruction of the San Hao and the death of its crews, has been in vain. Much has happened since you left, she says, her gaze fixed on the owl. The war in the streets is won. Your miserable wabble found death at the gates of the Citadel and in the alleys and gutters in which they sleep. The people of Carson have turned against your toothless crusade. I need not tell you how the ranks of the Rousemen have swelled with brave souls eager to hunt down your murderous crews. Brave souls whose minds are no longer their own, says Owl, who appears to be doing his best to reveal little emotion for his voice. Okay, let's try it again. Brave souls whose minds are no longer their own, says Owl, who appears to be doing his best to reveal little emotion in his voice. Brave souls whose hearts are filled with the song of dark magic, sung by the Sorcerer Lord and chirped by his wars. I would expected more from you, says Tamitha, glazing her cold gaze in your direction, while keeping her staff trained on Owl. Keeping company with a murderer is what I might have expected of one of this kingdom's wretched thanes, that being Thane Poland that she's referring to, but you! Two massive bolts of flame slamming to the ground several yards to the left. No, to the right, Tamitha. The mass source immediately tilts her head skyward and you follow her gaze. There, streaking across the bright grey sky, is a broad-winged Chilterik, seated on the back of the soaring reptile Yulia. I guess she either got it under control or found another one or something. Owl lunges the mass sorceress, but she quickly regains her wits and discharges her staff, sending a broad arc of crimson flame hurtling towards the master thief. Owl is struck on the thigh and sent sprawling backwards onto the ground. He lies motionless. Before you can react, Tamitha turns and unleashes a second bolt of flame. The deadly missile of fire streaks towards your chest. Okay, my options are fortification, to block it, telekinesis, to move it, elementalism, to extinguish it, or just get out of the way. Four options, random.org, chooses four. I'm dodging again, I'm doing a lot of dodging. You dive to the ground in a desperate attempt to dodge the deadly blast of fire. No, not to the ground. That wouldn't work for Sokroki to an accord at all. She's pretty much as close to the ground as you can get. So you spring upwards in a desperate attempt to dodge the deadly blast of fire. Picking a number. Bonus of 49. 19 from agility, 10 from luck, 19 from thievery. Got to get 50 or more, pick now. 117 success. You just barely manage to dodge the fiery blast. The bolt of flame passes within inches of your prone form and slams harmlessly into the ground several yards below you. You promptly land on the ground again. Tamitha seems to pay you little mind as she again snaps her head skyward in time to see Uluya, seated atop her Chilterik, swooping down out of the sky, a staff poised to deliver another blast of fire. The mass sorceress holds her hands above her head, just as Uluya unleashes two massive blasts of flame. Exactly the same moment, a deafening roar and a wave of intense heat sends you staggering backwards as a wide column of flame subtly shoots into the sky, completely enveloping Tamitha. Uriah's flaming missiles pass through the blazing column and slam harmlessly into the earth. The column of fire rapidly subsides, leaving its wake no sign of the mass spellcaster. You turn to see Uriah's Chilterik land near the southern edge of the ruins. Alright, I guess she's just flame-apported out of here. I'm not sure why she didn't try to finish us off, but I guess she wasn't entirely confident she could handle all three of us at once. Or maybe she just doesn't think we're worth the effort. She definitely treats us with a lot of disdain. She's definitely going to, no matter what the actual result is, she's going to say to herself, it's because we're not worth the effort. Sir Croakington, Al's voice startles you, and you turn to find the master thief limping up from behind, aggressively beckoning to the east with his white hand. Turning in that direction, your heart sinks as you spot 2 dozen silver armoured Tazal slithering swiftly towards you. With Al at your side, you assume a defensive stance and prepare to engage the reptilian horde now bearing down upon you. Alright, this is the time for healing then. And it's done. As the horde, a silver armoured Tazal, draws near, Al turns and dashes off to the north, taking a good number of the vicious creatures with him. Alright, he'll be leading them into traps he probably somehow managed to lay while I wasn't looking. Not sure I get it, but he's very fast at that. You're left facing 6 of the vile snake men. You valiantly engage the first, the 6 silver armoured Tazal you face, armoured Tazal. And it fights just like the other armoured Tazal. Plated fire-weaved arms, and every now and again, you get the special where its arms catch on. You're engulfed by the flames of your enemy's attack. And again, for another 17 damage, keep going. You know, I've got to quick combat the rest of them. 40 XP. Oh, and the enchantments of metal and devastation helped out too. You step over the remains of your slain foe and do a bit of healing and prepare to engage the next of the vicious reptilians. You valiantly engage the second of the 6 silver armoured Tazal you face. Quick combat. Didn't even get a hit in. 40 XP. You step over the remains of your slain foe. Prepare to engage the next of your vicious reptilians. Here's the third. Quick combat. Slain. 41 XP. They're getting tougher. Number 4. Finish it off with a battle wage. Of course, I'm very angry at these. I mean, we're trying to get off this aisle, but nope. We're trying to get some books, gather some things, but Tazal keep blocking our path. It's the penultimate of this load. There will be more. That's just how things go when you have anything to do with Sarngard, and presumably you're an enemy of the Grand Sentry. You just get to fight unlimited snakes. The next of them, you valiantly engage the last of the 6 silver armoured Tazal you face. Begin combat. Here we go. Finishing this one manually. Probably don't have to, but still. Go into a battle wage. So angry. There's so many of you. Why is there so many of you? Where'd you even come from? And stuff like that. Keep going. Flame to your enemy's attack for 24 damage. Anyway, it is slain. 42 XP. You step back and gaze down at the remains of the last of the 6 vicious reptilians. A wave of intense heat, coupled with a deafening roar, startles you as the blazing inferno swiftly engulfs the armed corpses of your foes. In a matter of moments, only small piles of ash and the charred, empty shells of plate armour remain to mark the spots where the vicious reptilians fell. Sir Croakington, you turn to find Uria whooshing, running up from the south, the tip of her staff still smoking. She reaches her side and points to the north, where Owl is just now limping into view. The two of you rush over to steady the master thief, who appears ready to topple over at any moment. But he dismisses your help and tells you that Tazal following him have suddenly disappeared in the same manner with Tuf to Mithurla. He ignores Uriel for a moment and turns to face you. How would you like the mass sorceress? He asks. A wooden mask covering all but her eyes. Reminds you of someone, doesn't it? That someone being Thane Mazabak. Should. We didn't get to see her sister, but we're all better off for that. Shocking to me they ever left Cardsan. They were certainly desperate to get their hands on that book, or at least prevent us from doing so. Is this it? Oyo produces a small leather-bound book and tosses it to Owl. The last remnants of colour drain from the feast's face as he stares down, mouth agape, the book now resting in his hand. You look at Oyo in disbelief, dumbfounded at how she came into possession of the book. Well, thank you, Oyo. That is very convenient and useful. It's easier to explain than you might think, she says. But we've got a lot more to worry about than that. And that finishes this scenario with 1,024 experience to general and 128 experience to all skills and powers. And the next scenario is called The Beast of Shrine Isle, where presumably we finally fight the beast, or maybe get the beast to fight for us. I don't know, it doesn't say. We just got the title. But anyway, we're very close to an hour now, so that we'll have to wait to the next episode. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.